This is Stu Strauss, the Woodsman, and you're listening to Inspirato Projecto.
I think we can do it. Let's work out an agreement. I think we could have lots of fun. I've got information that I know you need. You've got information that I know I need. We both know we need. We both know that we need this information. Yes, we both need this information.
I just wanted to say I really, really love your channel. And I love it when you play your guitar and you sing. That's like my favorite part. You are really, really talented. And I hope I can even become half as good as what your station is. I highly doubt it, but I just wanted to say thank you for sharing who you are with us. Thank you.
Thank you, Lady Enigma, for that thoughtful message. Thank you so much for saying that. You know, it's so interesting. I had recorded a bunch of riffs. I was just recording them and I was just saving them onto an episode, and then I would just sort of dole out those little riffs in between various episodes. I go, you know what, that episode, you know what, they could do with a riff, and so I go, and I'd send it on over to that episode, and so that's how a lot of these episodes are constructed. That's why a lot of them, the timelines don't match up, or at least it doesn't seem that way, or at least it adds credence to the fact that I'm a time traveler, at least. Maybe that's what it does. It's actually verifying that I'm a time traveler, time lord. So I have all these riffs that are recorded, all these song ideas, riffs, song ideas, things that are just, that I had pieces of things written about. For instance, you'll hear an Angeline song, a song about Angeline. The very first part of it, the very first part up to the chorus was saved. I had it, but the rest of it I improvised. So a lot of this stuff just very improvised, very whatever inspired me at that moment, and I want to give it a home. I want to give it a place to play. I want to give it a voice. So it's always like, hey, I want to play. I got something. So I try to give everybody their turn to play, to dance on the dance floor. Their turn to ride the ride. So it's always fun for me when I find out that people enjoy the stuff that's being put into these episodes. So this one, it's so interesting because I'd only scooted one little piece into another a different episode. And once you sent me this, you just recently sent me this. Once you sent that to me, I thought, you know what? I'm going to have an episode that's mostly riffs. That's just a bunch of mostly riffs. So there's going to be some little pieces of thoughts and epiphanies here and there, but this is going to be mostly riffs. So thank you for inspiring me to go ahead and do that. So buckle in, buckle in.
John Travolta, make a comeback.
It's so cool, hey, that's great. Hey, man behind the machine, that's so great to see it out there. Hey man, it's so weird, it's so great, hey man. Hey, thanks a lot for asking about me over here. I was busy shooting the Welcome Back Kotter Returns. It's a new movie we're doing out there with Washington, Epstein, Horseshack, you know, all the old gang, you know, Mr. Kotter. We're doing Mr. Kotter Returns, okay? And then it's like pot superhero film. So my superhero character is called like the Boom Boom. Right, the Boom Boom, cause I'm Vinnie Boom Boom, you know. It's like, you know, Vinnie Boom Boom Barbarino, you know what I mean. Now Washington don't like that, cause he's Boom Boom Washington, but you know, it's like, we gonna do.
Thank you.
Save the tech. Let's save the tech.
It's my work in progress for the Save the Tick theme song. Save the Tick. Hashtag Save the Tick.
Hi, is this Curtis? I'm looking for Curtis. I've got a po' boy sandwich ready for him. It's fresh. I just made it. Give me a call back. God, I don't want it to go cold, okay? All right, talk to you soon. All right, bye.
Snake avoidance training classes. This is a photograph that I saw on Instagram. Instagram? Instagram? Snake avoidance training classes. How do you best avoid snakes? And have you had training classes on how to avoid the snakes? Or is this just something that you had to invent over time? Lots of trial and error. If so, man, leave all of your trial and your error stories on the broadcast. Call us up. 561-203-9179. Give us a call. Call us up. It's the Inspirato Projecto Hotline.
Do it. Please. Please. Please.
Back around 1999, 2000, when I was going to Columbia College, I had this history class, and we were learning about the Spanish Inquisition. This was the first time I had heard about, or I actually heard about what the Spanish Inquisition was, aside from back in high school when my buddy Tommy Oseneca made a mixtape for me, and all of a sudden you hear, no, he goes,
well, I didn't expect such a Spanish Inquisition.
No one expects the Spanish Inquisition! Our chief's tools are surprise.
Oh, man. But anyway, this is the first time I actually learned about the Spanish Inquisition and the crazy atrocities that happened back then. And so I was always trying to find ways to do alternate, take alternate routes to take care of particular projects. So we had this one project where he wanted us to do a report about the Spanish Inquisition. And I knew, you know, we had like a week or whatever to do it. And I just started making a song. I thought, you know what? What if I make a song about the Spanish Inquisition and I play it in front of the class? And then that way, there you go. I don't have to do the report. So I approached him with this idea. He didn't like the idea too much. So this is a never shared before, unaired portion of a song. I didn't do the whole song, but This is it.
Bitten by buckles, chest chewed by chains. She's thinking these people must be insane. Her neighbor told them she refused to eat pork, her head held in place with an iron fork. They question her again and again. This is the Spanish Inquisition. Whoa.
I was on a panel where we were discussing, of all things, the lack of communication between generations. And I was sitting there waiting for the thing to begin, and these are always very painful. I don't know whether you know much about the panel proposition. They're very painful before they get underway. It's as though debate has become showbiz. We'd like to have a little disagreement among you folks there, fellas. Let's speed it up there just before the first commercial. Gonna have a little disagreement here and a little controversy. We got to throw in there near the last. And you're sitting there, and everybody is kind of tense. And then the show begins, and you're discussing a question which seems to be as remote as completely remote from what you're doing and from what you're feeling and what you're sensing as possibly a game of badminton could be. And you're just sitting there, and the question is going on, and nobody's really answering it, and everybody's playing his part. And it was my turn to say something, and it suddenly occurred to me, what a ludicrous situation this was, on a Sunday morning, discussing the lack of communication between generations. And I couldn't figure out, first of all, what a generation was. I've been conscientiously trying to think of what is a generation, you know. Where does the demarcation line start and stop? Now, you can give me all the classical definitions. A generation is 21 years. Yeah, but there's a new crowd that starts every 30 seconds. Where do you stop, you know? And what generation am I part of? I don't know. I have absolutely no idea. That a lot of guys around here who are supposed to be of my generation, I am totally out of touch with at the station. I have met 9-year-old kids whom I communicate with completely, thoroughly. I have met 75-year-old women who immediately we can establish a rapport. I have met guys. It's as though, you know, the funny thing about this generation business, you hear a lot of talk about the Beat Generation. And most people seem to think that the Beat Generation, according to the classical definition, is a crowd of guys about 19 or 20 years old. Well, there is much evidence to the contrary. For example, how many of you know how old Jack Kerouac is? I mean, Kerouac is generally considered to be the spokesman of the Beat Generation and so on. Of course, a lot of them now will object to that. But the fact is that he is generally considered to be that. And Kerouac is well up in his late 30s, as far as I know. In fact, I know he is. And yet, it's a very common thing. I've seen it time and time again, where some guy will be driving along, he's 35 years old, and he says, Kerouac, a bunch of crummy, bunch of Beat Generation crowd, and he's talking about his own generation. Apparently, he thinks he's talking about somebody who's 18 years old, and it goes back and forth. So there is no real, I think there is no genuinely classical, I'll do it, Russ. There's no, yeah, this is, speaking of Beat Generations, this is WOR AM at FM New York. We'll be here until 2 o'clock. I don't know what the Beat Generation is supposed to be. I have no idea what the Now, when I'm saying generation, I'm saying age differentiation. I want to show you something here. Now, listen carefully. Thank you.
who you just heard there was Gene Shepherd. Gene Shepherd. I've been going down a Gene Shepherd rabbit hole lately. He was a broadcaster back in the day. He was in Chicago for a time, and then he was in New York for a time. And he was an amazing storyteller, and so he would go into these great stories. I love the fact that that little segment right there, he's talking about Jack Kerouac. I love it. That's such a good point about the generations. Where does the generation start? Where does it end? And by defining a generation as something, are we actually putting up divisible walls between the generations by saying that? By saying, oh, there's lack of communication between generations. Are we automatically just agreeing to that? I just love the fact that he talked about Kerouac, and that Kerouac was as much, you know, that much of an influence back in the day to be talked about on the radio in that sense. Gene Shepherd is the voice of Christmas Story. So if you ever seen that movie, if you ever see that movie Christmas Story, and you hear the voice, he's the narrator, and he also has a bit part in the movie where he's standing in line while little Ralphie's going up, waiting for Santa Claus. But all those stories he told on the radio is what ended up as Christmas Story. Look up I Libertine sometime. I Libertine. Libertine. I'm not going to get too into it because I get really deep into talking about this one. I want you to do the research. Check it out. I Libertine. Check out what Gene Shepherd did back in the day. It was an amazing hoax. Amazing hoax. By the way, you're listening to Inspirato Projecto, and we've got lots more coming up.
I saw Angeline earlier today. My mind is still warped up in surreality. She was picking up VHS tapes at the local video store. She was so covered up in pink she couldn't possibly have worn anymore. Stuff inside of it. She was picking up VHS tapes at the local video store. She was so covered up in pink she couldn't possibly have worn anymore. Would you like to buy a tea? Would you like to buy my official wig or maybe panties? I saw Angeline earlier today. She made me run away. She tried to sell some of her merchandise. Tapes at the local video store. She was so covered up in pink she couldn't possibly have worn anymore. Thank you.
I was thinking about how... Oh! Holy shit, Angelina's here. Oh my god. Hold on. Let's see what we can do. Oh my gosh. Let's see what happens here.
Absolutely.
Hey, good to see you again, man.
Yeah, we definitely need more of those.
Okay. Wait! That song, you don't have it on a disc?
No. Do you want the tape or no?
Is the tape good? Is it a professional tape?
Yeah, it's a professional one. We don't have a disc in it.
Okay.
You want it?
Angeline? I'm a big fan. Nice to meet you.
Yeah, nice to meet you.
Hi. Can I interview you for a second? For my podcast? It's called Inspirato Projecto, and I always interview interesting people. And I was just walking down the street, and it was crazy. I saw your convertible here.
Oh, okay. Just one second.
So,
let me get more of these. Get this. Keep those.
Keep those. Put that in a bag for you.
My goodness, this is dusty. Dusty. Okay.
Hey, are you leaving some of those, though?
Yeah, I'm going to go to the car and get it.
Yeah. You want me to grab those from you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Come on,
okay.
Why don't you, how about if I give you my assistant's phone number?
Okay.
I don't like to do things on the fly. You know?
Oh, gotcha.
What's your name?
My name's Kurt. I just remember when I first moved out here, I saw your billboards all over the place, and I always wondered more about you.
Well,
Kurt comes in. He's a customer.
Oh, yeah.
Is he safe?
Yeah, no. I get. He
is he
interviewed my friend Lila's friend, right? The one that was Andy Kaufman's
daughter. Andrea Tatarsky.
Andrea Tatarsky.
That was Andrea Tatarsky.
She wasn't. She was doing a show, but she was doing this almost like it's something Andy Kaufman would do. She was doing this sort of thing as Andy Kaufman's lost daughter.
Yeah, she was pretending to be her.
And it was really kind of.
But I interviewed like Twin Peaks actors and all kinds of really cool. Really kind of cool.
If you want, people always, you know, I mean, if they run out, we always put the thing.
Sure.
Did you check the box? You want me to check it for you?
Oh,
you got it? Okay.
Yeah, but
I'll Oh, okay.
Did you need one of those, or did you get
Well, we have the magazine.
Oh, you have it?
Yeah, then. You gave us the magazine.
Oh, then you don't need that.
No.
Okay, good.
That's it? You done with me?
Yeah.
And you got your movies?
They're in there, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
I'll see you. Okay, hey, good seeing you again,
man. Hey, man, good seeing you again.
So I'm going to give you Scott's number.
Okay.
Have you got a pen?
This is so exciting. No, I don't have a pen, unfortunately.
You want to write it down?
Oh, yeah, actually, you know what? I do have a pen.
Put it on your phone.
Oh, I just realized I do have a pen in my pocket.
Why don't you dial him?
Dial him?
Dial him and then you'll have him on your phone.
Oh, yeah, that's true. That's true.
So what's your podcast about?
Oh, it's about the creative process, the process of creation. It's about riffs. It's about meeting interesting people. I'll interview Uber drivers sometimes. Yeah, like I play guitar. I'll just make a guitar riff. A lot of times it's about dreams.
Okay. He'll set up a meeting and we'll meet up.
Okay.
213-880-8102.
And his name is Scott?
Scott, yeah. Just tell him that I told you. Tell him to set up a meeting. But did you need to get anything from my fan club? T-shirt, hat, picture, autograph picture?
Oh, wow.
Well, it's for sale.
Let's see here.
Do you get a card?
Oh, thank you for your card.
Thank you. Do you need to buy anything?
Oh, this is great. I don't have any cash on me. Do you have a swipe thing?
Yeah. No swipe, PayPal.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Look, I have a meditation tape launched by the Rick and Morty show. They commissioned me.
Oh my gosh, that's incredible. That's great.
Do you have a cassette tape?
That's great. I don't have a cassette player, unfortunately.
What do you need? The shirts are 65. Keychains are 20. Magnets. Do you need magnets?
Sure.
What are you into?
Yeah, magnet's fine.
Magnet's just $20.
That's awesome.
That? Or do you want to get a picture? Like an autograph picture?
I'm just not. Just as you're not prepared for the broadcast, I'm not prepared for this.
Okay.
This is crazy. When are you going to be back here?
I don't know. You wanna? Do you wanna get this now?
Yeah. Well. Okay. Well, I'll come back later. I'll call him.
I'm not
I'll
gonna
call
be
up
here. Scott's not here. Scott's my assistant.
Okay.
Give him a call and we'll set up like a coffee meeting.
Okay.
And then we'll figure it out then.
Okay. Cool.
All right.
You
take
care. Nice meeting you. You know, it's so crazy. Oh my gosh. All right, so there she was, Angeline. I met her. The real deal, Angeline. That was crazy. Immediately she started trying to sell me stuff. Oh boy, what do you do in that situation? What do you do in that situation? Wow. So in a sense, we kind of got an interview with her, right? Angeline. When I first moved out here, I saw these big billboards of her. She was all over the place. Her pink Corvette. Always wearing pink. She was like the... trying to embody sort of that pinup model, that Playboy pinup model. Who knows if she actually was in it? Wow, so intriguing. It's crazy when you have a certain, like, a mystery in your brain of something, and then years later, when you get to the bottom of that mystery, or at least you touch that mystery. It's interesting. I had read an article about her not too long ago. Well, by not too long ago, I mean less than a year ago. And that article was about... It was basically, the whole thing was like tracking down who is the real Angeline? Who is she really? Where does she come from? Because no one had really known her backstory. No one had really known. She was just this mystery. Just a total mystery. And no one knew anything. So then apparently what had happened was some journalist decided to go down the rabbit hole and see if he could find any information about her. Find out stuff. Did she have a, you know, was she born as Angeline? Did she change it? Is it an alias? There are just so many billboards. No one really knew, because it wasn't connected to anything. Yeah, she's selling stuff out of the back of the trunk of her convertible, her Corvette. But she, like, she's not really, I mean, this woman, she's like a legend, but she's not really, why didn't I just go ahead and buy a t-shirt from her? Why didn't I? Man, it's interesting, until you're in the middle of something, you don't know how you're going to react until you're there and you're in the middle of it. You know, it's so funny. Long ago, I had this idea. I thought, this was when I first moved out here, and then when I first started seeing the billboards of Angeline up there. I first saw those billboards, and I'm like, who is this woman? And then I had this idea for a movie where these guys go try to figure out, they get to the root of this. This is crazy that I just experienced this moment in time that coincides with this idea. Never in my life did I actually think that I would meet Angeline. And not under these conditions. This is crazy. So I had this idea of a movie where these guys decide, you know, try to, who's Angeline? And then they end up seeing like glimpses of her as she's driving through the hills and stuff in her pink Corvette. I remember driving along on a couple of occasions, and people tell me that they saw her Corvette driving someplace or walking out of a shopping center. I mean, this woman is just all in pink. Man, Angeline, A-N-G-E-L-Y-N-E. Well, you heard it. I got her assistance information, so we'll be having her on the broadcast. We'll talk more later as things evolve.
Do you remember when we were 10? Way back then, you had imagination. Whatever happened to you? What did they do to you? I always thought you were a genius. We all thought you'd carry us upon your coattails to the top, onto that mountain. Up high, 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 high.
So I had this idea. Do cats have canines? Or do they have felines? My sister Jenny says, felines have canines. Thank you.
spaghetti.
Have I met you before? Have I met you before? Have I met you before? Have I met? Every single lifetime we find each other, we're glued. We won't be able to leave one another, 'cause we're destined to be with one another. Destined to be with one another. Destined. Never get a chance to miss you.
I was just imagining, you know, one of the greatest things about great actors is that they commit to character. Great actors commit to their character. They are fully in that moment. And willing to let go of any other identities. And just step into this role. Sort of channel the spirit. Allow themselves to give themselves over to it. And I was thinking, I was imagining how many people are in mental institutions who claim to be mental for whatever reasons, and they just decided, I'm just going to commit to this role. This is what I'm going to commit to do. I have these issues, these mental issues. So they commit themselves to the place, maybe to get out of a crime, maybe to get out, you know, to disappear, who knows. And I wonder if that's one of the places where people look when people go missing. Did they go to mental institutions? Because what if the person just willingly checked themselves in? They could just show up to a mental institution in a gown, mumbling and wandering around without their wallet, any of that jazz. They could fake a car crash, go to a mental institution, and then commit themselves into it by not having any ID. What do you do in that situation? I guess they go to the cops, maybe saying, hey, this guy just wandered in. Or would you be able to trick him? Maybe not. Maybe it's a big place, you could. But maybe not. It all depends on how familiar with their patients the people are. Maybe if it's a huge facility, you could sneak in there better that way. Maybe that's what happened with Andy Kaufman. He committed himself to a mental institution. With the name of the guy that he traded IDs with, and that guy being an orphan. So let's say that man's name was Arby, and Arby and Andy shared that same alias, Nathan McCoy, in the hospital. And now Andy and Arby, they switch IDs. So Arby is Andy and Andy is now Arby. So basically, to the world, it looks like Andy is lying dead there in the hospital. He's dying of cancer, looking very different than anybody had ever remembered him. Now, that man, an orphan. So if that becomes the ID that now Andy has, and Andy's out there pretending to be this RB person after he fakes his death, what if he then walks into a mental institution what if he goes into a mental institution? And then he's just got this ID for that guy. They try to call the family. There's no answer. And they just leave him in there. Free room and board. Plus, it's a wonderful character study. How long could you... then people in the hospitals... I guess that's the thing, is that... Would they recognize you? Not if you're in a completely different... place. Probably wouldn't recognize you. Shave your head. Or grow some facial hair. Shave your head. And now, no one recognizes you as Andy Kaufman. May 16th, by the way, this is being made on May 15th. I'm contemplating. I made an Andy Kaufman episode on his birthday, January 17th. And I'm wondering if I should go conspiracy heavy here
with Andy Kaufman. Faking his death, May 16th. I might just have to go to Jerry's tomorrow. You know, on his behalf. We shall see. Heck, by the time I release this, maybe it'll be on May 16th. Maybe I'll interview someone. We'll see. More to come here on Inspirato Projecto. Thanks for listening.